What's up, everybody? You glad to be in church this weekend? Yeah, hey, I know if you're here in this area right now, it is a rainy Sunday morning, but can we make just a little bit more noise for Jesus? You glad to be in church this morning? Yeah. Awesome. Welcome to week two of Undaunted, a series about living our lives boldly. I want to take a moment and say hello to our other locations right now, to everyone joining us at our Hokesson location. So glad that you're a part of our church family and you came to church this weekend. For all of you at our online location, glad you're along for the ride. Newark, will you help me show some love to all of our locations? Yeah. One church, and it might be a little bit spread out geographically, but we're one church, one heart, one family, and I'm very glad you're here. If it's your first time at the Journey, a big welcome to you. If you're new to church altogether, I hope you're having a great experience so far. Before we jump into the message, I want to take just a moment or two and let you know what's coming up in our church family over the next few weeks. But before I do that, I want to just reflect back on Men's Night Friday night. It was amazing. Yeah, if you know, you know. If you're a guy and you were here, you know we had such an incredible time. If you're a guy and you weren't here, but it was incredible, amazing. Over 350 guys gathered together Friday night. We played a bunch of games. We laughed. We ate way too much. We worshiped together, and we got fired up in our faith. We gave stuff away. It was just amazing, and there's more to come. So this coming week, this coming Wednesday evening is team night here, and this is an environment we create every month for people who lead groups and teams in our church to inspire, encourage, equip our leaders here. But this month, we are opening it up to anyone who's interested in leadership. So if you maybe want to lead in the marketplace, or you're in management at work, or you're starting a business, or whatever the case may be, or if you are one of our leaders here in our church, I want to encourage you to come. I'm going to be speaking, and it's going to be just a great environment, as I mentioned, to encourage you and equip you and help you become a better leader. So you can go to yourjourney.tv/teamnight to RSVP for that. It's this coming Wednesday evening. And then in July, we are kicking off a brand new series in just a few weeks called Full Disclosure, that is all about the book of Revelation in the Bible. So if you've had questions about the end of the world, we're going there. I'm not predicting the end of the world. I'm saying, like, we're going there to talk about it, all right? So, and I really want to encourage you, don't miss that, and bring your friends and coworkers, family members, people that maybe aren't sure what they think about God or church. We're going to come at this from a perspective that's going to encourage you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. I'm looking forward to that. And then as you heard, last but not least, today is Connect Weekend. All of our locations, an opportunity for you to get plugged in to a group, to get connected to a group of people doing life together this summer. And I want to encourage you to do that. So it's going to be a great summer. And as we jump into week two of Undaunted, how many of us have had a moment recently when we felt like we had everything under control? Don't be shy. Just own it. You felt like, I've got this. I've got this under control. Yeah, Hokesson online, so let us know. You aced the exam. You crushed the interview. You convinced your friend or your spouse or your sibling to calm down when they were losing their minds. You looked at your budget and there was money left over. Oh, I've got this. You just thought, I've got this. I'm awesome. How many of us have had some moments recently that felt a little out of control? Just show of hands, felt a little out of control. All right, yeah, that's a lot of us can relate to that. How many of us have had both kinds of moments in the same 24-hour period? Have you been there? Just what, you wake up, you look in the mirror like, I've got this. End of the day, you're like, I don't think I do. I'm going to crush this day. This day crushed me. You know, just all in the same time period. I am a recovering control freak, just so you know. And I have a theory. I think that most of us, wherever we land with spiritual things, whatever you think about God or church, I think most of us all have a little control freak in us, especially those of us who act like we're totally chill all the time. You've got an area of your life that if I poked enough, if I asked a couple of the right questions, you'd start sweating. It stresses you out. You're freaking out about something. And for some of us, maybe we've even given in to the illusion that we can ultimately control our lives. So the question today is, does an undaunted life, a courageous life, a bold life, a confident life, does that come from really working harder and harder to control things? Or does it come from letting go of control altogether? Some of us, that's how we control things. We act like we lose all self-control, which is a way of controlling. Did you know that? It's like, if I just act like I don't have control over anything, then I'm not accountable. Anyway, another message for another time, but an undaunted life, is it about control? Is it about letting go of control? And then the big question a lot of us want to know, when life spins completely out of control, how do we handle that? So let's jump in. Long, long ago, in a land far, far away, there lived a man named Job. Now, if you've been around the Bible at all, Job is probably not your favorite book. And if you're new to the Bible, we're gonna dig into the story of this guy named Job. We find his story in a book named after him in the Old Testament. And here's what you need to know about Job. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. This is a guy who's just completely devoted to God. He's moral, he's upright, he's everything that we would look to as a standard of someone who's a good person. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area. So in Job's time, wealth is measured in how many cows and camels and sheep you have and how many people you can afford to hire to take care of them. So if this was written today, I want to put this kind of in today's language, here's what it might read. Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 apple stocks, 3,000 pieces of investment property, 500 cars, and an assortment of boats, motorcycles, planes, expensive art, and private islands, along with an extensive staff to help manage it all. Not the Bible, just to be clear, that's the MJV, the Mark Johnston version. Okay, that's what that is. But you get the idea, right? Job is prosperous. And if you read the rest of his story, you discover that he's also generous. He's not somebody who's rich because he keeps it all or hoards it or he's selfish or he's stingy. He actually gives his money away. He helps others. He cares for the poor. And it's clear that God has blessed him as a result. Now, not everybody who's rich is devoted to God. And not everybody who's devoted to God gets rich. But Job just happens to be both until things go sideways. And you're gonna have to go read it for yourself because it's a lot, and I would encourage you. You can read about this in the 1st and 2nd chapter of the book of Job in the Old Testament. Job's world falls apart completely and all at once. All the oxen and donkeys, stolen. All the sheep, struck by lightning. All the camels, stolen as well. And there's no Nationwide on Job's side during this time. Like there's no Liberty Mutual. This is not covered, it's just gone. And it gets way worse because while Job is still trying to process the news that he's lost all of his stuff and all of his wealth, a messenger arrives and tells him, your sons and daughters were enjoying dinner together in one of their homes and a tornado struck and the house collapsed and all your children are dead. Remember, 7 sons, 3 daughters. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. Few months after leaving college, I was driving on a highway in Canada after a snowstorm. I'd been driving for a few hours, and it had snowed really hard, and I was really careful while it was snowing, but then the snow had cleared up, and I needed to make up time. So I was going about 60 miles an hour on the highway, and I wondered why everybody else was driving so slowly. And at 60 miles an hour, I hit a patch of black ice. And before I had time to think, my car was flying through the air. I went over a snowbank on the side of the highway, into the air, rolled the car down into the median. That was a divided highway, down to the median. And when I came to, I was hanging upside down by my seatbelt, completely disoriented. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know what had happened. There was enough blood to be disturbing. And there were people, I had been unconscious, I guess, for a moment or two, and there were people around the car, and one of them asked me, is there anybody with you? And I couldn't remember. Thankfully, there wasn't. But in that moment, I just completely disoriented. And what I recall most about that moment, some of you are like on the edge of the seat, were like, did you live? Yes. He's like, phew, I didn't know if you made it. Yep. I'm just trying to say what you're thinking, you know. But what I recall most about that moment was the feeling of complete powerlessness. Like how much, you know how much confidence you have in a moment like that? Zero. You're completely reliant on other people. You don't know what's going on. You're just completely powerless. And if you multiply that by a million, that's Job. Read the first chapter of Job in the Bible and you find out that Satan, the devil, was behind his suffering. So there's a spiritual attack that's part of this. And that God allowed it. So there are a lot of questions that come with this suffering. How do I keep an undaunted faith when the world around me is falling apart? Well, first, we keep an undaunted faith by realizing that life is rarely controllable. And for some of us, we're like, man, you're messing with my plan for my life. Because my plan was to control everything that happens. Yeah, good luck with that. Life is rarely controllable. It's not a nice thing. It's not what we wish were the case, but it is the truth. And an undaunted life, a courageous life, does not come from successfully protecting myself or even the people I love from anything bad ever happening. So much of life is outside of my control. So when I face unexpected pain, failure, suffering, do I throw in the towel? No. I can still live an undaunted life when I realize that life is rarely controllable, but I am always response-able. Now, I know some of you are thinking I spelled that wrong, but I didn't. Because I'm not responsible many times for what happens around me. I'm not responsible for natural disasters. I am not responsible for the stock market. I know you think I am, but I'm not. I'm not responsible for the economy. I'm not responsible for any of those things. They are out of my control, but I am always able to choose how I respond to those things. I am response able. Life is not controllable, but I am response able, and so are you. We can choose how we respond. Wherever you are spiritually, listen, we have the power to choose how we respond. And here's how Job responds. Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head, which was not a fashion move. In his culture, this was a way of showing that you were distraught, overwhelmed with grief. Tore his clothing, shaved his head, fell to the ground. So for all of us who think because we're Christians, we're not allowed to grieve, Job shows us that even those of us who have a deep relationship with God are going to go through seasons that feel overwhelming. We're going to grieve. We're going to struggle. But then he fell to the ground to what? To worship. And in all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. He recognized this is uncontrollable, but I am response able. I'm able to choose how I respond. I have a group of pastors, lead pastors that I coach, and it's such a privilege to be in their lives. I care a lot about every single one of them, And one of them is a fairly new church planter, young guy. There's a young couple in New England. They started a church a few years ago. And a few months back, his grandmother, who was the matriarch of their family, devoted to God, the one everybody looked to for encouragement and an example of how to live, she got COVID and she passed away. And this pastor was grieving and struggling with questions. Why did this happen? Just like any of us would be. And reached out to me about it, and I told him, I don't have easy answers for what you're going through. But I am learning that there are two different kinds of faith, and both are important. Listen closely. There's for faith, and there's in faith. And here's what I mean. Most of us, when we hear the word faith, we think of for faith. We think of having faith for a certain result. I have faith God will heal me or help me or protect me or provide for me. And that is an important kind of faith. All of us could use more for faith. And if you don't know Jesus yet, one of the most amazing things about doing life with him is you can begin to expect that God will do things in your life that that don't have an explanation outside of God's work. You can have for faith. But in faith is what we lean on when for faith doesn't play out the way we hoped. Because in faith is faith in God, not for a certain result, but just faith in God for who God is. It's in faith. And again, both are important, but in faith is where we go when for faith doesn't go the way we thought it would. We have faith for things to go a certain way, but if they don't, what do? We take our unmet expectations and we put them in the container of our in faith, and our in faith holds us together even when our for faith is struggling. Are you hearing me today? We have a place that we can go. In fact, one of the great writers in the Old Testament of the Bible who knew God so closely, David, said that God is my refuge and my strength. So he's my strength for things that seem impossible, but even when the impossible isn't happening and I'm stuck in the possible, he's my refuge. I have faith in God. I have a container to put my disappointment in. And it's my faith in who God is. And in faith reminds us that life is rarely controllable, but we are always responsible. And that's Job. He's deeply grieved. But his response is not just to grieve, but to worship the God he has faith in. I want you to notice he's not unmoved. He's not unaffected. He doesn't pretend it doesn't bother him. He's just undaunted at the end of the day. His faith is in God. And an undaunted life, a life that's not intimidated or discouraged by difficulty, danger, or disappointment, is a life that recognizes, watch this, how powerless we are and how powerful we are at the same time. We are powerless to control our circumstances, but we have great power because of our faith in God to respond in ways that don't leave us bitter or angry or disillusioned or ashamed, but leave us more resilient, accepting, determined, and confident. If we think we're powerful enough to control everything, we will end up deluded. But if we think we're powerless to choose our response, we will end up defeated. It's when we humbly recognize that we are powerless to control our circumstances, but powerful through faith in God to respond, that's when we end up undaunted, bold, courageous, resilient. I'm going to keep living this life. Can't control what happens around me, but I've got a container to put my disappointments in. It's my faith in God. I have faith in God. And there may be some of you that are going, well, I don't have faith in God, but I bounce back. Can I just say, lovingly, life-givingly, when I go through something I can't control, I don't want to go to myself for strength alone. That's like it's just a really shallow well. But I have a God who is always in control, and I can take what's out of control for me to a God who's in control. And have faith. So, a lot of other stuff happens in Job's life. You can read about it. He gets sick. His wife tells him to give up on God and die. She's very supportive. But one other thing happens that's important today in particular. When three of Job's friends heard of the tragedy he had suffered, they got together and traveled from their homes to comfort and console him. When they saw Job from a distance, they scarcely recognized him. Wailing loudly, they tore their robes and threw dust into the air over their heads to show their grief. Again, that may seem weird to us, but in their time, this is how you showed that you were struggling, that you were going through great grief. And they joined Job in his suffering. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and nights. No one said a word to Job, for they saw that his suffering was too great for words. Now, if you read the rest of the book of Job, his friends get things really wrong later, and so does Job. God has to correct all of them. The end of Job, God's like, okay, let me straighten this out. And thank God, literally, he has the patience to do that with all of us. Anybody ever been corrected by God? Just like, yeah, I feel like it happens to me 3 times a day. God's like, okay, Mark, let's talk about this. Let's go over this one more time. 2 of the 3 are while I'm driving. I'm just saying, Let's talk about patience. So God has to, nobody's perfect in this story. Even in the end, Job. He gets a little bit complainy. And his friends get a little judgy. Like everybody has issues. But notice, Job doesn't have to face this terrible pain alone. He has friends. And they're the kind of friends who show up, grieve with him, and then sit for a week without saying a word. They know they can't fix it, but they can feel it with him. Which means, you have to catch this, this means that Job's response when good things were happening in his life was to recognize, I can't control how long the good things last. So I'm going to do some things that prepare me for whatever comes. Even though it seems counterintuitive because I'm blessed right now and I'm wealthy right now and everything's going well, Job said, no, I understand life is really controllable. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep my faith in God and I'm going to surround myself with a few friends who believe in God. So when bad things happen in Job's life, which he couldn't control, God was there and so were his friends. Now again, they didn't get everything right. If you read the whole book, after a week they started talking. Turns out, should have stayed quiet for another week. But the point is, Job, as simple as it may sound, he has friends. The way he prepared himself for what he couldn't control was to have a God he worshiped, a purpose beyond this life, because he did not live just to make a dollar. He was living to make a difference. He had a God he could worship, a purpose beyond this life, and a few friends that he could do life with. And it turns out that's the recipe for an undaunted life. To have a God you worship no matter what, a few friends you're connected to no matter what, and a purpose for your life you can pursue no matter what. That's the recipe. The recipe is not figuring out how to buy more deadbolts and take out more insurance and live in a bubble. The recipe is to have a God you can worship no matter what, a few friends you can be connected to no matter what, and a purpose you pursue no matter what. So let me ask you, do you have those three things in your life today? And if not, what's your next step? You say, well, I don't really feel like I need that stuff. Things going pretty good. Can't control how long that lasts. You say, well, that's very pessimistic. Okay, you're like, well, I don't know if I could do it. Things are going pretty bad. Can't control how long that lasts. Things might get better. Things might get worse. Don't put your faith in things. Put your faith in God. So do you have those three things in your life? Do you have a God who's worth being God? And do you have a few friends that you're connected to? And do you have a purpose beyond yourself that you're pursuing? If not, what's your next step? And if you do have those things, if you do have that in your life, are you holding on to that, the stuff you can control? Or are you being distracted by things you think you can control? You fast forward to the end of Job's story. Read this. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. Now, nothing could make up for what Job went through, and nothing could make up for who he lost. But the catalyst for him to get on with his life was a reminder of his real wealth. The wealth was never the camels and the oxen and the apple stock. Wealth wasn't even knowing his family was safe. His real wealth was a God he could pray to no matter what, friends he could pray for no matter what, and a purpose he could pursue no matter what. We can't ultimately control what happens to us, but we can respond with faith in God, prayer for others, and determination to carry on. Because life is rarely controllable. And I'm not making light of that today. Some of us are reeling from some things happening in our life. Came from out of nowhere. And we're hanging upside down by our seatbelt. Feel out of control. And it's a brutal reminder but life is rarely controllable. It hurts. But the good news is we are always response able. We get to choose. We didn't get to choose what happened to us. Many times it was out of our control. But we get to choose how we respond. Am I going to get bitter? Am I going to get better? Am I going to throw in the towel? Am I going to climb back in the ring? And some of us, we've been trying to control our lives, and the way it shows up is we isolate ourselves from God and from other people. And that we get critical, jaded, maybe we've been burned, let down, beaten down by life, so we stay on the fringes. And we never go all in. Never go all in with God, never go all in with God's people and God's purpose. It's a control move. And I get it, because I've been there. It's a control. If I just stay sort of like here, if I don't go any further, if I don't get connected, if I don't step out, if I don't take a risk, if I don't serve, if I don't go all in, then I won't get hurt. It's a control move. We have walls a mile high and excuses a mile long. Whether it comes to connecting with our family or with our church family, some of us, there's a risk God's calling us to take, and we're just holding back. I'm too busy. It's not for me. I'm not a people person. Well, you're a person. Like, do you like being around you? And if not, let's work on that. I have other obligations. I'm going to say one more tough thing. I know it's intense, but listen, some of us are worried about burning out. We've never been on fire in the first place. Well, I want to make sure. Holding back. I'm going to take the risk. Can I just tell you? I don't say this meanly or unkindly, but you just need to know life is laughing at your efforts to control it. It's a myth. You just can't control it, can't predict what's going to happen in your life with any certainty. But I'll tell you what you can do. Listen, I'm going to empower you today. You can prepare your life for anything that comes. And the way you prepare your life is to have a God you worship no matter what. A few people you're connected to, a group you're in, no matter what. And a purpose you pursue, no matter what. To give your life away for others, no matter what. And this weekend, you can do something about that second one. Because it's Connect Weekend. You can get in a group this summer. You can get connected to a few other people and do life together. You can take that risk. See, I don't know if your life right now is great or terrible or somewhere in between, but I do know this. Life is rarely controllable. But you are always response able. So let go of your control freakery. From a recovering control freak. Let go of your control freakery and embrace your response ability. And if you would say today, man, I'm in. I want to gather, connect, serve this. I'm going all in with God. I'm going to remind my soul that I can release what I can't control to God so that I can focus on what I can, preparing my life and living my life the way God desires. If you would say, I'm all in today, would just lift your hand all over the room. Just hold it up. I want to pray over you. Just lift it up high. Hokesson, lift it up high, online, right where you are, shoot that hand up. And let's open our hearts up to God together. God, we come to you, the one who is in control. Nothing's too hard for you. And God, I think even in this moment, we need to be reminded that when you allow things, you don't cause some of the things that happen to us. We live in a broken world, but when you allow them, you tear your robe and you grieve with us. You weep with us. You are with us in the midst of what we can't control. And God, I pray over us right now. I pray that this summer we would lean into faith in a God we can worship no matter what. I pray as we gather here this summer, you would move in our gatherings. God, you would work wherever we are spiritually. You'd take us to a new level in you. God, I pray over our groups this summer that in the laughter and the fire pits and the discussions and all the stuff's gonna happen in our groups, that you would be there. We would know I'm connected. Got a few people praying for me, supporting me, and I'm praying for them and supporting them. God, I pray as we serve this summer, God, in the weeks to come, and we give our lives away, that you be right there strengthening our souls. God is my refuge and strength. And God, I pray that today you'd remind us that life is rarely controllable, but we have power through faith in you to be response able. Pray it over us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take just one moment more and speak to any of you in the room, our physical locations, watching online right now. If you don't yet have a real relationship with God, maybe you're going through something in your life that's difficult right now and you're looking for hope. Maybe things seem good on the surface, but you have a nagging feeling that something's missing. And either way, what you need most is not just a solution to your current problem or just a temporary fix to that nagging sense of emptiness. You need a God you can worship no matter what. And if you want to know that God, it happens through putting your faith in Jesus Christ, his son, who gave his life for you, died on a cross, rose again so that you could have a relationship with God. And if that's you, I'm going to lead us in prayer again. I want you to make this your moment. Everybody, open your heart up to God with me one more time. If that's you, you want to begin following Jesus. Right where you are, whisper out a prayer of faith, something like this. Jesus, today, I put my faith in you. I believe you died for me and rose again. And that from this moment on, you will be my leader and Lord. And if that's you, while everyone around you stays focused on God, if you would say, count me in on that. I want to be included in that prayer. Will you just shoot your hand up, hold it up high? Putting my faith in Jesus, Hokesson, online. Let us know. And then everybody, will you help me? Come on, let's give Jesus all the praise. Would you help me do that?